Just for the recording, it's the Father Heart TV webcast. And the topic this evening is the Holy Spirit of Sonship. Well, first of all, once again, welcome everyone. It's really good to have you all with us this evening. And just want to explore a little bit together what I've come to see the principal role of the Holy Spirit really is. I think generally speaking, as a church and as a sort of community, we've become very, very familiar and comfortable with the Holy Spirit. I mean, there was the charismatic renewal in the 1970s, which spilled through into the 1980s. And then in 1994, of course, there was the outpouring in Toronto. And generally speaking, these days, whichever church you go to, the Holy Spirit is welcomed. Whereas maybe 20, 30 years ago, in a number of churches, the Holy Spirit was sort of still kept, you know, in the corner because it was a little bit too radical and a little bit too dangerous. But, you know, now, generally speaking, we've become very, very comfortable you know, with the Holy Spirit and with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we love the fun that the Holy Spirit brings to our gatherings and our times together. I remember in the UK in the 1970s, there were these big Bible weeks called the Dales Bible Week. And thousands and thousands of people would gather up in Yorkshire at the Harrogate Showground and just have a Bible week together, and there would be a lot of fun. The Holy Spirit was really, really given a lot of freedom and liberty, and they were generally very, very good times. But I remember I was a teenager still at school, and our church went to one of these Bible weeks one year. And our church was just coming into the whole experience of the Holy Spirit and welcoming the Holy Spirit. And so for a lot of the people who went from our church, it was a really, really exciting time. Well, I was a teenager. I was about 16 or 17. I was at boarding school, and I made a deal with God, which is always a bad thing. I've discovered in later years that making a deal with God never really works in your favour. So I made this agreement with God that I would be baptised in the Holy Spirit when, and not until when I left boarding school, because there was no way I was going to be baptised in the Holy Spirit and then go back to my rather conservative traditional boarding school with this sort of new wacky expression of my Christian faith. So I went to this Bible week in the summer with the rest of my church, you know, as quite a shy, insecure teenager. And I decided there was no way I was going to respond to anything. And of course, a lot of the meetings, they were really encouraging people to be baptized in the Spirit and so on. And our church was so keen that we even had meetings just in our little group in the afternoons when it was supposed to be free time and we could go and enjoy the beauty of the Yorkshire Dales. Well, one afternoon, somebody had a word of knowledge that there was somebody there who needed to be baptized in the Spirit. Well, the thing about that word of knowledge was it was a word of knowledge. Because everybody knew that there was one person sitting there who hadn't been baptized in the Spirit, and that one person was me. And I think I stuck out for about 45 minutes refusing to acknowledge anything, and eventually it passed and they carried on and we all had the rest of the holiday. But I'd made this deal with God that I would not be baptized in the Spirit until I left boarding school a year later. Well, as I say, it's never a good idea to make a deal with God because he always wins. And a few months later, I was baptized in the Spirit, and I know it changed my life, and it changed my understanding of who God was, and it gave me a much, much greater confidence and so on. But that's all to say, really, that, you know, all of us have really become very, very comfortable with the Holy Spirit. But I wonder what the disciples were thinking when they sat down for their last meal together. Because I think they were probably feeling a little bit insecure. You know, Jesus has been with them for 3 years. They've seen all sorts of miracles. They've had an amazing journey. You know, he's taken all these people from, you know, like fishermen and tax collectors and terrorists and, you know, all these, you know, ordinary guys who would never have got on well together ordinarily. And he's put them together in this group called the disciples, and they've seen so many wonderful and amazing things. And they've realized that Jesus knows God in a way that no one else has ever known God. And they kind of engaged with that, and they're excited by it. And they've really had a great 3 years. You know, they've seen him walk on water. They've seen him find the taxes in the fish's mouth. They've seen the dead raised. They've seen 5,000 people fed. They've seen all sorts of miracles. But yet, I think they get to this night when we call it the Last Supper, and Jesus suddenly starts talking about going back to his Father. And I think they're beginning to wonder, what's he on about? You know, they've had that procession into Jerusalem, and the leaders are trying to kill him. And, you know, suddenly all the buzz and the excitement of the previous 3 years is being shaken. And, you know, I think they're sitting there and they're beginning to feel a little bit insecure, a little bit confused, a little bit lost, and maybe even feeling that they're going to be abandoned. But Jesus is saying to them, you know, I'm going back to my Father, but I'm not going to leave you alone. And he talks about him becoming the way and being the way to the Father, and, you know, not leaving them as orphans and sending them another comforter who will be with them, you know, forever. And I think the disciples have got to this place where they're just thinking, what on earth is happening? You know, what on earth is going on? What's Jesus talking about, you know? And we have that wonderful question from Philip, because both Philip and Thomas really help us understand what was going on. See, I love Philip and Thomas because they actually put our questions into words. And, you know, the questions they asked Jesus enable Jesus to lay it out very, very clearly what's really about to happen. And, you know, I always feel a bit sorry, particularly for Philip, because he makes his statement or asks his question. He says, show us the Father and that will be enough. And Jesus almost gives him a sort of mild rebuke. You know, how can you say, show us the Father? Haven't you seen me? And when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I think, well, I think if I'd have been Philip, if I'd have been there, I would have asked the same question. You know, and dear old Thomas, he says, you know, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth and life. I'm going to my Father, you know the way. And Thomas says, Jesus, we don't have a clue. Where are you going? And that opens up for Jesus to say, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so these guys, they really help us understand what's going on, because they ask the questions that I think we would have wanted to ask as well. Because Jesus then goes on to explain that the Counselor or the Spirit of Truth or the Comforter or the Holy Spirit will be with them and with them forever. See, Jesus says, I'm going back to my Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. And I guess if the disciples could really hear those words, they would have been a great comfort to them. Because over the previous 3 years, they'd received the comfort that Jesus brought. You know, Jesus says, I'm going to send another helper, another comforter, which means he already was a comforter. He was a helper to them. And I, you know, if the disciples heard those words, you know, I'm sure that would have brought them a lot of comfort that, okay, Jesus is going, but someone else is coming to be with us and to be with us forever. And the same person that Jesus sent for the benefit of his disciples is the same person that you and I can receive and have living in us. See, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is going to come and he is going to be with us and he is going to live in us. And then we get that verse, John chapter 14, verse 18, which we all know so well, where Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And, you know, I really think that when Jesus spoke those words, he caught hold of the words that have been on the Father's heart ever since Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden. Ever since they were sent off into that orphan way of life, I think the Father has had this cry on his heart that says, I will not leave you as orphans. And that cry on the Father's heart is something that echoes throughout the whole of history. And it comes to you and it comes to me. And that cry that is on the Father's heart, those words that Jesus spoke, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. You know, they are life-giving words that we can receive into our hearts. And because Jesus sends the Holy Spirit, Jesus sends this other comforter, you and me, are not left as orphans. And, you know, I love the life of the Holy Spirit. You know, I love the fun of the Holy Spirit. I love the laughter and the rolling around and just the free expression that we all enjoy on those times. But I've come to see something a little bit more about the role of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit will be with you forever and you will know in your hearts that you are no longer orphans. And I've come to see that the Holy Spirit is not just the fun member of the Trinity, but the Holy Spirit is the one who comes into our hearts and confirms our sonship right in the depths of our being. You know, that the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and it confirms to us that we're not orphans, but we are sons and daughters. And, you know, I know we talk about this often on the webcast, but it's so important for us to understand that, you know, the moment we became born again, that we became a son, we became a daughter. But many of us still live in our old orphan ways. We still live with that sort of feeling of having to do something to please God or do something to win his favor. But yet Jesus lays this as a very, very clear foundation for us, that he has sent the Holy Spirit, not just to the disciples, but to you and me, so that we know in our hearts that we're not orphans and that we're sons and daughters. And it's such a foundational thing that Jesus says there, that you know, that the Holy Spirit confirms our sonship in our hearts. And when we get hold of that and really understand what that means, it changes everything for us. And, you know, my encouragement to us all this evening is we go deeper and deeper into the knowledge of who we are, that we are not orphans, and the Father sends his love and sends his Spirit to draw us deeper into that relationship. And as we go deeper into that relationship with him, all of the orphan ways which we so easily recognize are driven out of us. And I think sometimes people get a little bit discouraged because they look at their lives and they see those orphan ways. And, you know, that's true, they're there. But my encouragement is, don't look at those, but look at your Father. You know, if we focus on our Father and who he is and what he's done for us, that draws us much, much deeper into this love relationship. So my encouragement is, look at him and let him draw you into your true destiny and your true identity, rather than focusing on those odd little orphan ways that all of us have got and we probably will have for many years to come. Let's look at him and just gaze on the beauty of our Father, because we've received this wonderful gift to confirm in the depths of our hearts that we are no longer orphans, but we are sons and daughters. In John chapter 16, Jesus is still talking to his disciples and he says, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. See, Jesus is saying when we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, he will guide us into the way of truth. And the way of truth is very, very simply who we are. You know, it's not a question of, the truth is not leading us into a pathway of what we must do or what we mustn't do or how we must behave or how we shouldn't behave. Leading us into all truth is leading us into the truth of who we are and who our Father is. That he is our Father. That's the truth. We are his sons and daughters. That's the truth. And when we receive the Holy Spirit into our hearts, we are led automatically into a deeper expression of that truth. Jesus said in John chapter 14 that he was the way, the truth, and the life. You know, he was the way to the Father, but he is the truth about the Father, and he is life. Life in all its abundance is what he's giving us. And so when Jesus says, there are many, many more things you need to know, many, many more things you need to hear, but you can't bear them at the moment. But the Holy Spirit will continue to guide you. The Holy Spirit will continue to lead you. And the Holy Spirit will draw you into the truth of who you are and who your Father is. And if we live in that place, it causes the roots of our life to go down deeper and deeper into his love. It causes us to be, you know, planted in love and our roots to be stronger. So when a time of shaking comes, we can stand because our roots are in the good soil of his love. And also here in this passage in John 16, Jesus says, he does not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And we've heard that about somebody else, haven't we? We've heard that said about Jesus. You know, Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father saying. I only do what I see my Father doing. And here, we've got the Holy Spirit who has that same motivation, which is not to speak on his own account, but to take what belongs to the Father and what belongs to the Son, and to reveal them to you and me. See, this is what the Holy Spirit does when he lives in our hearts. He hears what the Father is saying, he hears what the Son is saying, and he speaks those words of life into our hearts. Because all the Holy Spirit wants to do is glorify the Son and glorify the Father. And, you know, he doesn't do anything on his own account. He just lives to glorify the other members of the Trinity. And so when the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts, he brings those little nuggets or those promptings which come straight from the Father. And it's that within us that draws us further and further along this road of love. See, I've really come to see that we are connected in relationship to the Father through the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit is living in us, it is a connection between us and the Father. You know, in Galatians chapter 4, Paul writes that we are no longer slaves, we're no longer orphans, but we are sons. And God has put his own Spirit into our hearts in order that we may cry, Abba, Father. And again, he reiterates it in Romans chapter 8, that we're not controlled by the sinful nature, but we're motivated by the Spirit within us. And that's something that gives us abundant life. See, as I've said, and I'll keep saying it, I love the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I love the fun of the Holy Spirit. I love the life-changing, joyful abandon of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is much, much more than the gifts or the fun or the laughter. I really believe that the Holy Spirit inside of us is connecting us in relationship to the Father. And it's like the join between us and the Father. In Ezekiel 36, you know, this was prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus came, hundreds of years before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Ezekiel writes, and he writes words that come straight from the heart of the Father. He says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put in you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. See, it's Ezekiel sees the day that will come when not only will our human hearts be changed, you know, and our human hearts will be softened and our human spirit will be softened and more attuned to what the Father's doing. But Ezekiel sees a day when God the Father will place his own spirit inside of us. You know, God takes his spirit and he puts it into my heart. He takes his spirit and he puts it into your heart. And it's that Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us that causes us, motivates us to do the right thing. You know, how often have you tried so hard to do the right thing? I have. You know, there's been many, many times I've tried to do the right thing and I've failed. You know, I just can't keep it going. You know, I can do it for a month or 2 months or 3 months or 6 months, but you get tripped up and it just becomes a burden and it becomes a journey of striving. But yet the Father says there's a time coming, and I believe we are living in that time, that the time has come when he will put his own spirit into our hearts, and it will be his spirit, it will be the Holy Spirit living in us that will motivate us or compel us to walk in his ways. And I long for that day in my own life when I will really, really walk wholeheartedly in his ways. And I see that happening as we go through this deep transformation of our hearts when the Holy Spirit takes up his residence in our hearts. It's not just our heart or our spirit that changes, but it's his spirit dwelling in us that will cause us to do the right thing. And do you know what? That is such a more peaceful, restful journey when he does it, rather than when we have to try and do it ourselves. Because at the end of the day, we can't do it. But if it's his spirit doing it inside of us, all we have to do is open our hearts and welcome the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I need more of you. But as we recognize that the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of sonship, it's that sonship that will grow in us as we live this life filled with the Spirit. You see, being filled with the Spirit is not about having all the gifts. Being filled with the Spirit is not about having, you know, a laugh on the floor. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is being filled with the Spirit of sonship that motivates us to walk in our Father's ways. And, you know, I've come to see that, you know, because we love the gifts so much, the gifts of the Spirit, we kind of use the Holy Spirit a bit like a toolbox. It's like a big box of goodies on the floor in front of us. And we walk over and we look in this box of goodies and we think, oh, yes, I would like the gift of prophecy, or oh yes, I would like the gift of tongues, or oh yes, I would like the gift of interpretation, or oh yes, I would like the gift of miracles. And we take a tool out of the toolbox and we use it and we have a lot of fun and there's a lot of blessing, and then we put the tool back in the toolbox. And you know, that's not what the Holy Spirit is for. It's the Father's very own Spirit which is inside of us. It's not in a toolbox waiting to be picked and chosen from, but it's the Father putting his Spirit inside of us so that we know that we have a Father, so that we know that we're not orphans. See, the Holy Spirit confirms to us in our hearts that we are no longer orphans, but we are sons and daughters. And I see it a bit like an elastic bridge. And if I was doing an A school or something, I would illustrate this with a couple normally, and have the man on one side and the lady on the other side. And one of them would be the father, and the other one would be us. And then I would be the Holy Spirit in the middle, joining them together and being like a bridge between God the Father and us. But that still leaves us at a distance to the Father. But I see the Holy Spirit as being an elastic bridge that draws these two sides together, that it draws the Father close to us, and then the Holy Spirit comes around us and wraps us up and holds us together, because we're connected to the Father in relationship through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit doesn't keep us at a distance. The Holy Spirit is God the Father's Spirit inside of us, so that we know we are connected to the Father. And when we are connected to the Father, we know that we can live in his love. The Holy Spirit leads us into freedom. Freedom is a two-sided thing, I think. And I think so often we only concentrate on one part. When we're free, we are free from something. And most of us understand that, you know, we are free from our life of sin, we are free from our old ways, we are free from our bondage, we are free from all of our past life. And we understand what it is to be free from something. But the other side of the coin, and maybe even the more important side of the coin, is we are free to be someone. We are free to be a son, or we are free to be a daughter. We are free from something, but we are free to be someone. And I really think it's important for us to understand both of those aspects, because many times I think, and I believe it's probably one of the things that traps us in our orphan mentality, is we know we're free from our sin, and we know we're free from our past life, and we know all of that, but we kind of live in this no man's land, because we've stepped out of something, we're free from all of that, but we've not stepped into the freedom of being sons and daughters. And, you know, maybe you understand that, maybe you recognize that a little bit in your own life, that you know you've been free, set free from something, and but you're not quite sure what happens next. Well, my encouragement is for you to understand that you are free to become, and free to live as, and free to be who you really are, which is a son or a daughter, because you have the Holy Spirit of sonship living in you. And Jesus says this in John chapter 8, and I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. He says, "When you sin, you are not free. You've become a slave in bondage to your sin. And slaves have no permanent standing in a family like a son does. For a son is part of the family forever." And then I love this next bit. "So if the revelation of being a son sets you free from sin, then become a true son and be unquestionably free." See, Jesus says a son, and that obviously applies to a daughter as well, a son and a daughter, they are part of the family forever. That's why in Luke chapter 15, when the younger son came home, the father could welcome him in and say, "You belong," because as far as the father is concerned, a son belongs to the family forever, and a daughter belongs to the family forever. No one and nothing can take that away. And so once we understand who we are, then Jesus says, be unquestionably free. Live a free life. You know, step into that freedom that has been bought for you and has been given to you because you've got the Holy Spirit of sonship living in you. See, our Christian life, or whatever we call it, is not about obtaining facts or information. It's a drink of living water. And Jesus said, if you drink this water, you will never thirst again. And yeah, he said, you know, just have a drink and it will become a stream of living water. You see, it's not about getting facts or information or knowledge and all that stuff. It's about drinking living water, and that living water sets us free and draws us into this life-giving relationship. See, it's a little bit like a magnet. You know, if you've got two magnets and you hold them a certain way, they attract and they connect to each other, don't they? But if you turn the magnets round, they repel and push the other magnet in the other direction. Now, sons are like a magnet that attracts. You know, we attract other people to us. We're attracted to the Father, and we're comfortable to be around, comfortable to be with. There's a sense of peace and rest. But you know what it's like? Orphans are the opposite. They don't attract, but they repel. and they push away. And, you know, they there's no peace and there's no rest. And it feels very, very insecure to be around them. But, you know, as a son or as a daughter, we have this connection to the Father through the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is he's talking to his disciples, and he says, you know, no one knows the Father except the Son, and no one knows the Son except the Father. But the sentence I particularly want to pick on is he says, no one knows the Father except the Son. Now, if he'd have stopped there, that doesn't give you and me much hope. But Jesus goes on and says, no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And the good news is that Jesus is in the business of revealing his Father, and he loves to reveal his Father, and he is constantly revealing his Father. We read that in John chapter 17, that he will go on revealing the Father. And he does that in order that we can know him. And it's that that in Matthew 11, it goes on to talk about, come to me and you will find rest. See, when Jesus reveals the Father, and when we come to see who the Father is, and when we come to receive his love, that will automatically lead us into a life of rest. See, when we live in love, when we have the Holy Spirit living within us, our lives are totally, totally transformed. See, it takes us beyond the excitement of the encounter of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, many of us have got many experiences of really exciting times with the Holy Spirit, and they are great. You know, but when we know that the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of sonship, it takes us beyond that excitement. It takes us beyond a desire for the gifts, and it leads to us living the fruitful life that Jesus lived. You know, it leads to us walking as Jesus walked. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, we learn the greater way, which is the way of love. And, you know, I simply want to end with that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of sonship. It's the Holy Spirit of sonship that the Father puts into our hearts in order that we know that we are no longer orphans, but we are sons and daughters. And it takes us, you know, the excitement of the gifts of the Spirit, or the excitement of the rolling around or the falling on the floor, that's something we love and something that we enjoy, but it only happens for a moment. But when we allow the Holy Spirit of sonship into our hearts, it transforms our lives forever. So even if we're having a bad day, we know who our Father is and we know who we are. See, the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of sonship, and it's drawing us into this amazing connection with the Father, so that we know we're loved, so we know that we can live loved, so that we know that we're no longer orphans, but we're sons and daughters. And, you know, my prayer this evening is that we understand this little statement that I've kept on repeating, you know, that we are connected in relationship to the Father through the Holy Spirit. And my encouragement is to keep asking the Holy Spirit to fill you and fill you and fill you with the Spirit of sonship, so you know who you are and you know who your Father is. Galatians 4:6-7 says, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. 1 John writes, how great is the love that the Father has lavished upon us, that we may be called the children of God. And that is who you and I are. Let's just pray for a few moments. Why don't we just open our hearts to receive a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit this evening? You know, wherever you are in the world, maybe you just want to put your hand on your heart and let's just ask the Father, let's just to baptize us with the Holy Spirit of Sonship so that we go beyond the experience and the encounter, but we go deeper into His love. So, Father, I just thank you that you didn't leave us. You didn't leave us as orphans, but you've come to us. And, Father, I thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit. And, Father, I thank you for the fun and the joy and the life that your Holy Spirit brings. I thank you that we can just have so much fun with the Holy Spirit. But, Father, we want to recognize this evening that the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of Sonship, who confirms to our hearts that we are no longer orphans, but we are sons and daughters. And so, Father, I just ask for all my brothers and sisters right now that you would baptize us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Father, just pour your Spirit into our hearts. Father, pour your Holy Spirit of Sonship into our hearts. Father, just fill us so full of this amazing Spirit of Sonship so that we know that we are connected in relationship to you. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to be that elastic bridge that draws each one of us into our Father's heart right now. Just Holy Spirit, just draw us into that place of intimacy with the Father. Draw us into that place of fellowship with the Father. Draw us into that place of oneness with the Father. And Holy Spirit, where we've struggled to do the right thing, would you just overrule us? And would you motivate and cause us to walk in our Father's ways? Thank you, Father. Thank you for your great love. Thank you, Father.